its tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If watching is more your thing, don't worry. We've got you covered here at Civic Media. You can always watch our fine programs on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also go to Instagram, X, and Facebook, search at Maggie Dawn Show. You can watch us there. And I do mean us to start off the show this afternoon. I am joined by my regular Thursday co-host, Tom Paulsiewicz, a two-time congressional candidate, a Navy vet, small business owner, and all-around reasonable man. Tom and I are joined to kick off this afternoon's episode by Professor Charles Franklin of Marquette University Law School, because we've got a new poll, everybody, and we shall discuss. If you've got questions or comments, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Welcome, Tom. Welcome, Professor Franklin. Thank you both for making time this afternoon. Let's just jump right in. Professor Franklin, what is the top line headline, in your opinion, from this most recent poll?
I think the top line for me is that voters really have not learned as much as they need to know about the candidates for the state Supreme Court and for the State Department of Public Instruction, the state school superintendent. Overall, we've got 4 weeks to go, so that's a while, but 38% didn't know enough to have an opinion about Brad Schimmel. 58% no opinion about his opponent, Susan Crawford. Jill Underly, the incumbent at the schools, 64% don't know her, and 71% don't know her opponent, Kenzer. Now, those numbers will come down as we get to the election, but the point I wanted to make from this poll is that voters are pretty concerned about the Supreme Court race. They say they care about it. About 50% care about it a lot. And about 80% say that it will determine the balance on the court. They just don't know that much about the candidates.
It's fascinating, Professor. Do you think that this may be just election fatigue? People aren't interested? Or if they're interested, they don't want to actually take affirmative steps to figure out more? What do you think is operating here?
I think, honestly, it is a slow process for voters to really get to know the candidates in spring elections. Plus, this year, we did not have a primary in February for the Supreme Court, whereas in 2023, we had a four-way hot contest there. So I think the court is off to a slower start because of that. But we were in the field beginning the day after the primary for the school superintendent. All three candidates were in that. These two candidates that won that. And yet they're the least known, less known than the Supreme Court. Now, in fairness, the school superintendent race has been a much less hot race than the Supreme Court is. So it's certainly sensible that they would be less known. And again, 4 weeks to go, but there's still a lot to learn. And whether it's the Supreme Court or the school superintendent race.
Professor, just one more compound follow-up question, I guess I've got for you. And the first part of this follow-up question to you is, one of the things when I hear this that worries me, frankly, is that voters, where they don't know a lot of information this close to an election of potentially this import for the state, especially on the Supreme Court end, that the odds that, frankly, campaign spending, ad buys, may impact the election go up. Was there anything in your survey, Professor Franklin, that indicated how people are getting information when they don't know a lot about candidates, or in prior surveys, to give us some insight here? Because this is the corrupting influence in politics that so many of us, by vast majorities, no matter what party we may affiliate with, don't like very much.
Yeah, there is a mix of things. First of all, we don't ask specifically, where are you getting your information? But about 38% said they'd read or heard a lot about the Supreme Court race. But it was less than half of that that had read or heard a lot about the school superintendent race. I think that makes perfectly good sense, and it lines up with people knowing less about the school candidates. We did ask a question about money in politics and whether both parties have been contributing a lot to court candidates for the last several cycles. And we asked, did this help people understand what those candidates stood for? Or did it make those judges less independent of politics? And actually, across all parties, people say that makes the judges less independent from politics. So that's not directly to how are they learning about it, but it does go to the point that these races are spending records of amounts after in 2023, we shattered the previous records. It's important to get to know these folks, and the respondents tell us they want to know where the candidates stand on issues, but at the same time, they're not entirely thrilled with the purely partisan nature of these so-called nonpartisan races.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've got a couple of quick questions for you. One, though, starting point for me is it seems like Wisconsin voters have forgotten who Brad Schimmel is. You know, when I was reading the actual numbers, I was like, wait a minute. I don't understand how so many people cannot know who he is after he had actually been elected. He's been around for a while. Do you have any insight into that? I don't know if you had a chance to go back and look at previous numbers.
Well, because Schimmel had been attorney general, we had asked about him before. And the truth of the matter is about 40% didn't have a good idea about him when he was still the attorney general. Now, that's a function of the office. When we've asked about Josh Call, the current attorney general, we see similarly high rates of people without opinion. So I don't think it's particular to Schimmel. The fact that he has run statewide probably does help that he's the best known of these four candidates. But still, 38% without an opinion of him is still a pretty high number for a former attorney general.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And the other part I thought was interesting was his favorability, unfavorability ratings were so much higher than Judge Crawford's. And that just meant that he probably was more visible to people than she is.
It's very much the percent of don't knows that we're seeing here or haven't heard enough. Schimmel is, in the whole registered voters, 3 points more unfavorable than favorable. But Crawford is 4 points more unfavorable than favorable, hardly any difference between them. When we narrow the sample down to the people we think are most likely to actually vote and who are paying the most attention, then the don't knows goes down and Schimmel is 1 point more unfavorable than favorable. Crawford is 1 point more favorable than unfavorable. So again, almost no difference between
them. Close.
It is kind of notable that so many of politicians have substantially net negative ratings, that both of these are basically even at dead even at equal fave and unfave.
Interesting.
Quite fascinating. We've got a caller on the line, Professor Jeff from Superior. Say greetings to Professor Franklin and my co-host Tom this afternoon. What's your question or comment, Jeff?
Hi, yeah, I'm from Superior, and I'm curious with regard to the Marquette polls on this and other Marquette polls. How much do you reach into northern Wisconsin, north of Highway 29? I mean, sometimes I think these polls are way out of touch with the people of northern Wisconsin.
Thanks, Jeff. Professor?
Yeah, we sample proportionately across the whole state. We actually divide the state into 90 different small regions and make sure that we're getting the right proportion of people from all 90 of those regions. And that absolutely includes the north of the state. Now, of course, proportionately, fewer people live in the north of the state than in the south and southeast. So, but that's representing the state proportionately. And as much as we can do with those 90 different subregions, representing people well within the subregions as well.
Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined this afternoon by Marquette University Law School pollster and professor Charles Franklin, as well as my co-host on Thursday, Tom Paulsowitz. Let's get into the polls results relating to Donald Trump's second term. What did you learn there, Charles?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting stuff there now, 6 weeks into his administration when we did the poll. Overall, 48% approve, 51% disapprove. So that's similar to national polling at this point. But the polarization by party is gigantic. 92% of Republicans approve of what he's doing. 97% of Democrats disapprove. And among independents, 39% approve, 60% disapprove. So on balance, he's slightly better now than he was at the beginning of his first term in 2017. But the parties are even more polarized now than they were in March of 2017 when we polled about him for the first time then.
A sad moment, in a way, watching that increasing polarization. Notably, Professor, was this poll in the field before? Did it include a period of time with the now very infamous meeting in the Oval Office with President Volodymyr Zelensky and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance?
No, we were essentially finished with the survey before that took place. So doesn't include that. Also doesn't, of course, include this week's tariff decisions either.
Notable that you, it always makes is very important when you're looking at polls to know when the poll was in the field, because there is just such a fire hose of change and news on a near daily basis. We're going to have to take care of a little bit of business. When we come back, my co-host is going to ask a question of Professor Franklin. If you have a question for Wisconsin's preeminent pollster, Marquette University law professor Charles Franklin, feel free to call or text that in at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. What does Wisconsin think of Elon and Doge? And so much more when we come back. You're going to want to keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment. Keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.